Now let's continue on. Now you see how creator, designer, to form, to make, to create, all come together. Now let's look at some other things which tell us more about God, tell us more about what he's doing. Okay, let's come here to Proverbs 26 and verse 10. Proverbs 26 and verse 10. Okay. The great God who formed all things, all had to have a design. God formed it. Okay. And here proves that he is involved in everybody's life through his laws and so forth. Both rewards the fool and rewards transgressors for their behavior. See, God gives to every man according to his works, and God is not a respecter of persons. All right? Let's come to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Now, you see, the way you answer all these things is just what we're doing. You go through the Bible. Isaiah 46. Let's come here. And that's why you have to prove that God's word is true. Now, there are a lot of things about God we don't understand. Okay? Since you're here in Isaiah 46, just turn a couple pages over to Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Okay? Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Now, God is on a level of existence that is above our full understanding because we're limited. We're human beings made in the image of God, not God. So he inhabits eternity. So let's look at the level of existence. God is at the highest level, and he's inviting us up to that level. Next are the angels that God created. Okay. Next are human beings. Then all the other animals going down the line. So God inhabits eternity. Okay. I dwell in the high and holy place, even with the one who's of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now that's how all the scientists can find God. Repent. God has given so many things that you cannot calculate, you cannot figure out, and he's done it deliberately. I know. Dolores and I watch these fantastic things that have been done about the earth. And they go way down thousands and thousands and thousands of feet, and they get down there and they think, nothing can live down here. And they were taking a picture, you know, to supposedly show that nothing was down here. And then there was a flounder-type fish down at about 5,000 feet in the sand. And all of a sudden, while the camera was going, swims away. They can come down deeper into the ocean. They can come clear down, and you know, much of the ocean is paved with asphalt, the bottom of the ocean, because it oozes out of the ground. Of course, the ocean is above it, and so here's all this asphalt. And guess what? There are sea creatures and sea plants growing on that, living off that. So everywhere you go, they go to the highest place, for the highest part of the mountains, and they dig out the rocks, and guess what they find? Fossils. All right? Evidence of God's creation everywhere. Everywhere. And yet they deny God. Okay? Now, let's come back here to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. This is why God says this. Isaiah 46 and verse 5. To whom will you liken me? and make my equal, or compare me that we may be alike. Now, how are you going to do that? It isn't going to happen. All right? Now, let's come here to the Isaiah 45 now, and verse 9, just a page over. So here's what God says to all of them. Woe to him who fights with the one who formed him. That's what they're doing. Okay. A potsherd among potsherds of the earth. That's how God looks at it. Like a bunch of broken pottery, see? Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work? He has no hands. Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what are you laboring over? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the one who formed him, ask me of things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. I've made the earth and created man upon it. I, with my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the host I have commanded. Now that's something. God commands, and it is. See, that's why we need to understand why the Word of God is true, why the Word of God is judging us, why God has all of these things. Okay? Yes. He has made it. All right? Now, a little more from the book, Nothing Created Everything. All right? Page 28. It is scientifically impossible for nothing to create everything. Now follow along and listen to this. If nothing created everything, then nothing isn't nothing. It is something because it had the amazing ability to create everything. So here's an atheist talking back to sending an email to Ray Comfort. He says, I'm angry with you, Ray. Stop, stop, stop. Saying that an atheist is someone who believes that something came out of nothing. I am an atheist, and this is what I believe. Matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed, however they can change from one form to another. Now, I want you to notice how close they get to the truth, but can't handle it. This is known as the first law of thermodynamics. Whoop! Stop. Who made the law? Where did it come from? That's like having a whole volume with blank pages. And you put it up on the shelf. And you say, book, on the shelf, createst thou all the laws you desire. And you come back the next morning, it's all printed out. Never happened. The first law of thermodynamics. Now, I remember talking to a man who was interested in a project that required some money to be loaned when I was a loan broker and so forth. And I was reading the book, Joseph Newman's Energy Machine. Now, that's quite a book. And he knows you can get energy out of the earth for nothing if you do it in a certain way. And the energy is perpetual. So I was reading this book, and one of the men who was there for the meeting, he was a scientist from up there near out of Stanford, and he was saying, there's no such thing as perpetual energy. And I looked at him, and I said, perpetual energy, perpetual motion. Everything that is wound up will wind down and gradually stop. And I said, that's not true. I said, there is perpetual motion. I said, you're standing on it. It's called the earth. Now, he didn't take that too kindly because he couldn't refute it. I said, it's always turning. And I said, if it runs a little low on energy, guess what the sun does? Sends off a big blast of electromagnetic energy and recharges the earth so it keeps going. Law of thermodynamics. Therefore, It is natural to believe that matter or energy has always existed in one form. Notice how close he's getting. This is why we get upset when you tell us that we believe something came out of nothing, because there has never been nothing. Matter or energy has always existed. But how did it get there? Can't answer that. All right. Now here is a big mystery. Page 30. He doesn't know how the universe got here. But he somehow knows that a creator wasn't a who, but nothing. How does he know that? Does he have some inside information? This is comfort writing. He says, I'd like to hear it. How does one know that who wasn't involved in creation? Even Richard Dawkins, one of the most famous atheists in the world, knows better. He's a little more careful with his wording, with his quote, which is this: why there is almost certainly no God. Leaves a little room. Lord, don't kill me just in case you're there, you know. If you say there was no first cause, a creator, then you're stuck with the unscientific, thoughtless belief that nothing created everything. So what is it that you believe? Is it something created everything? Then you are not an atheist because you believe in a creator, or you believe that nothing created it. There is no in between. God says he created and formed everything. Now page 31. Assuming the universe came from nothing, it is empty to begin with. Only by the constant action of an agent outside the universe, such as God, could a state of nothingness be maintained. Now you see, you're getting into all of these philosophical arguments, see? So what you're finding out is all of these big swelled heads of all of these men who think they know everything have all of these reasons to try and explain why they believe what they believe. The fact that we have something is just what we expect if there is no God. Now that is Victor J. Stenger, atheist, professor of physics, University of Hawaii, author, The Failed Hypotheses, How Science Shows That God Does Not Exist. Won't he be surprised at the resurrection? Now that's going to be a lovely thing to see indeed, isn't it, huh? All of them resurrected? And then God is going to say, let's have a little discussion about creation. Yes, Lord, what do you want me to learn? Okay. Note the difference between saying, this is on page 32, that the world was created for nothing and saying that the universe was created by nothing. Now that's a vast difference, see? In this modern view, the rabbit comes out of the hat with no rabbit, no hat, nor even a magician. The modern view is far more miraculous than the Bible world view. It suggests that nothing created something. More than that, it holds that nothing created everything. Quite a feat indeed. Now surely, there aren't serious people who are running around in the scientific age claiming that the universe was created by nothing, are there? Yes, scores of them. To be sure, they don't say it quite the way I have said it, Comfort writes. They would probably be annoyed with me for stating their views in such a manner. They undoubtedly protest that I have given a distorted caricature of their sophisticated position. Okay? True. They didn't say that the universe was created by nothing. They say that the universe was created by chance. We're all a big accident. Okay? You know, if you had a delete switch, yes. I got up this morning, and lo and behold, my computer was on. And the book that I'm going to write about, Grace Upon Grace, was already finished. And I walked into the room and the computer said, Fred, what's that? Your book is finished. Okay. Created by chance. But chance is no thing. It has weight. It has no weight, no measurement, no power. It is merely a word we use to describe mathematical possibilities. So here's what we learn. All logic is not truth, but all truth is logical. It can do nothing. It can do nothing because it is nothing. To say that the universe was created by chance is to say that it came from nothing. That is intellectual madness. That's why God calls them fools. All right, let's learn a little bit more about God's creation here. Okay, let's come to Psalm 94. Okay, Psalm 94, verse 7. Yet they say, that is the detractors against God, the Lord shall not see. Psalm 94, verse 7. Nor shall the God of Jacob regard it. So David writes, understand, you brutish ones among the people and you fools. When will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who chastens the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? Now here's God's answer to all of what we've just covered here in their assertions that God does not exist. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vain. Not true? Yes, indeed. Vain reasonings of men. Okay, so that covers everything with creator, designer. Now, there are many more things that we can add to it, so I'll leave it to you. Now, let's go to the third one, number three, life. This is true. Life can only come from life. And as far as what God has created, it can only engender life the way that God has created it to be engendered, whether it is human beings or whether it is any part of his creation. And some of it, when you look at the animal world, is so fantastic that it's amazing. It's amazing. Watch some time when they talk about herring, or is it sardine? I forget which. They all come together in a great mass. And it's a huge, huge, huge thing that takes place. And of course, all the other fish that are there to get their part of it, and the dolphins and the whales and, you know, everything that eats. But there are so many millions. And what happens? All the females lay their eggs right in the water. Trillions of them. And all the males squirt out their sperm in the water, and it becomes a great white cloud. They showed it from a helicopter looking down on the ocean. And here's the ocean, and here's this great white cloud of trillions of eggs that have been fertilized. Well, in a few days, you have little fish. Now, that is truly amazing. Then you look at birds. They lay eggs. Poop. There's an egg. Poop. There's another egg. Poom, there's another egg, see? Look at all of the other creatures. It's truly something. Look at how ants reproduce. They have a queen. She keeps laying eggs. They keep feeding her. And she's on the fat program, you know? She keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and obese, and the eggs keep coming out, and they keep feeding her, you know? And then Well, we can nickname them Dagwood males. They come along, and they fertilize the egg, and then they take and they put it in a special place for it. And here, the ants are created that way. Look at what God does with bees. Look at what God does with insects. Look at what God does with caterpillars, to butterflies. So many things, God shows the power of his creation that way. He gives life to everything. That's why he commanded the seas to bring forth, the land to bring forth, human beings to bring forth. Now, here is what man lacks. Let's come to John, the 5th chapter. This is why life can only come from God, and eternal life is only going to be given by God. John 5, let's pick it up here in let's come to verse 17. After he healed the man who had been infirm for 38 years and told him, pick up your sleeping bag and carry it, and the Pharisees found out he was doing it and castigated him, said, who told you to do this? He said, I don't know, but the one who healed me said, pick it up and carry it. So they got all mad at Christ, and they came and persecuted him after the man told him it was Jesus. Now, verse 16 of John 5. And for this cause, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Now, you see, is that not the same attitude as the atheist? Get rid of God? Yes. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I work. All right, what kind of work is the Father doing? Well, we have, that brings us life and sustainer very close. Okay? What work is going on that God created still functioning? Well, the earth is turning. Does the earth take a Sabbath day rest? Comes a Sabbath, whoop, the earth stops in space? No, God keeps it going. Same way with the universe. So he's working. But the greatest work that God is doing is the work he's doing in us. He says, my Father is working till now, and I work. What was the work that Jesus did on the Sabbath there? He healed the man who had been sick for 38 years. Was that not a work? Yes, it was. So then on account of this saying, the Jews sought the more to kill him, not only because he had loosed the Sabbath, the King James says, broke the Sabbath. And boy, I tell you, those law abolisher people get big time on this and say, he abolished the law. No. He loosed the Sabbath from that regulation, don't carry a sleeping roll on the Sabbath. And that was derived from the argument by the rabbis trying to figure out for their traditional way of thinking for Judaism, what constitutes a burden? Is this a burden? No. Is this a burden? No. Pick up the table. That's a burden. Sleeping bag? I see, Alice, your purse is a burden, according to Judaism. So this is what they wanted to kill him over. Okay? Now also, they wanted to kill him because of this. Not only had he loosed the Sabbath, but also because he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now think on that. When you have children and they grow up, are they equal with you? Yeah, in some cases more than equal. Okay? Yes, indeed. So here is about the plan of God. See, therefore, the Jews answered, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son has no power to do anything of himself. Now, he came into flesh. He always had to choose God's way. He knew that everything he had in the flesh was dependent totally upon God. Now, cannot do anything of himself. This is interesting in the Greek from this point of view. The Greek word there is ek, and that means to do work from within his own thoughts and within his own human power. See, out from within me, I can do nothing. But only what he sees the Father do, Whatever he does, these things the Son also does in the same manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself is doing. Now, let's understand. Let's project this forward. Because, you see, the creation of God is not just the universe and the earth and everything that is on it, all the physical things that we can see. What God is doing, he's recreating himself through us to first put into us the character we need to be able to live forever. See? That's what he's doing first. And he's going to show us everything that he's going to do. That's going to be real exciting at the resurrection, isn't it? We got to know, what are we going to do with this spirit body? You know, when a baby is born, what's the first thing it does? Okay. What are we going to do when we're resurrected? You know, hello, who are you? I'm your angel. It's the resurrection. Yes. We're going up there to the sea of glass. Oh, good. What are we going to do up there? You will be told everything you need to know. Okay? That'll be interesting, isn't it? And I'm convinced in my own mind. Now, I don't have my cowbell out here. But I think God is going to let the world see the resurrection taking place. That'll be a powerful witness, won't it? They will be convinced. Now, I've got to give a sermon on UFOs and aliens. Let's go on. For the Father loves his Son, shows him everything that he himself is doing, and he will show you greater works than these so that you may be filled with wonder. Then he explains what that is. For even as the Father raises the dead and gives life, in the same way also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. The one who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Then he makes some really astounding statements here. Truly I say to you, the one who hears my words and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and does not come into judgment, for he has passed from death into life. That's why you are under grace. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. Imagine what these Pharisees were thinking. Wonder what that would be like to kind of, you know, be like an angel, you know, up about 30 feet in the air, and they couldn't see him and see this going on, and hear all these Pharisees with their phylacteries and their hats and their robes and their beards and their beady, steely, killing eyes, you know, looking at him. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. Who does he think he is? Okay. Verse 26. For even as the Father has life in himself, inherent, eternal, perpetual life, and that's what's required to uphold the whole universe. All the power, all the creativity, all of these things, eternal life. Now remember where we started, that God inhabits eternity. Now notice this, for even as the Father has life in himself, so also has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has also given authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not wonder at this. He didn't give much chance to think about it, did he? The hour is coming in which all who are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, those who have practiced good, to a resurrection of life, those who have practiced evil unto a resurrection of judgment. Now that's something. So all of this, you see, we go from the physical creation to the spiritual creation that God is doing. And that is just like any, and that's why there are so many parables about crops. You plant a seed and it grows and it develops, then you harvest a crop. See? So likewise, when the resurrection takes place, that's like harvesting the crop all at once. Now, the only way that's going to happen is that there is a God, and his word is true, and we have his spirit, and we know what is right, and we live God's way. All right? So there has to be life. Now, we'll go ahead and end here and pick it up next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.